Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Game time decisions.
All right, let's roll. Game Time Decisions Radio has begun. Red Heat and Rage. I am Gabriel Moretti alongside the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, as the wait is over. We've talked a lot about the countdown to kickoff for the World Cup. Russia explodes with a 5-0 victory over the Saudi Arabians. And the odds for Russia to qualify have greatly changed in the last couple hours, to say the least. An explosive performance in front of the chairman of the board, Vladimir Putin. And you know you're badass when you're Putin, when you can like troll the king of Saudi Arabia who's sitting next to you.
That was the best. Hey, how are you doing?
I'm sorry, my friend.
I know.
It's 3-0, 4-0.
I just shrugged. That was the best. The shot of the sheik.
5-0.
I know.
Matt, every goal really counts because there's no penalty kicks in the opening round in the round robin stage here. So. Goal differential counts. That's why it was so big for Russia to get 5 goals. To put it in context, guys, Russia's over-under for goals scored in the tournament was 5.5.
Yep, they're there.
And I like the under. They just scored 5 goals in one freaking game. And they probably have 3 more games to go. So I'm going to lose that prop, to say the least. But we do have Saudi Arabia not to advance and like basically
that's good.
7 parlays. So it's a good start right there. If there's a lesson to be learned right now after just a 1 game. Now, listen, we can't micromanage this from 1 game because Saudi Arabia, we all knew Saudi Arabia coming into this were one of the worst sides in the tournament. But I remember going back to the Euro in the last tournament, and there were a lot of goals scored. You would think traditionally, ooh, this could be a lower-scoring game and stuff, but like all sports, everything's opened up. There's so many great athletes on the field. There's even the bad teams have big-time scores on the field, and there's really no bad teams per se. We're talking about the World Cup right now. So where I'm going with this is a lesson learned. We'll be taking a look at the overs. Or at least being very, very careful.
Taking unders.
When betting unders. And especially now in this group, it changes the complete dynamic of everything right now. Uruguay were supposed to run away with this group easily. They're still going to win this group, in my opinion. But goal differential counts. So suddenly they're minus a 5 spot to Russia right now. You know, like if Uruguay beats Egypt tomorrow 2-0, they're in second place.
Exactly.
Like, they're not in first place because Russia scored 5 goals, and then suddenly they would have to beat Russia outright. So, you know, things were already getting interesting in Russia, and a good way for the Russians to start the World Cup as the party continues on into the late night hours right now in Moscow after a 5-0 victory. And the bookies in Moscow.
They're taking a beating?
Yeah.
Lost rubles.
They're hoping.
Oh, no.
They're hoping that Russia doesn't score 5 goals again in their next game.
In the history of the tournament.
So the World Cup has started. The U.S. Open has started as well. It was really, really tough earlier in the day, but the course is playing a little bit easier right now as the day progresses. Dustin Johnson is currently the favorite right now at plus 275. Justin Rose, plus 600. Justin Thomas, plus 1,400. Ian Poulter, 16-1. Ricky Fowler at 18-1. And Then there's a big drop-off to Molinari at 35-1, Cam.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. We talked about Shinnecock playing easy while the winds picked up. Guys got absolutely beat down, Morenci. Like, I was watching this thing earlier, that in the soccer, and, you know, Parr was a really good score for these guys. Take a look at two. Another guy that you stay away from, take a look at the stars of this tournament. Rory McIlroy is one of the favorites. He shot a 10 over today. Well,
what did 80. What did I say yesterday?
Yeah, done with Rory, right?
What did I say yesterday? I don't trust Rory McIlroy. Rory McIlroy tied his career worst round score to par with an 80.
80.
On the opening day today of the U.S. Open. He's 10 over through 18 holes and was 11 back of the one under lead at the time that he finished. After one day, he was 11 back.
Yeah, Ian Poulter in the clubhouse already at one under. The best scores on the golf course are one under right now. Not just him, though, Gabe. Jason Day, a guy that I like. You talk about your Russian beat. Well, he's 9 over, so he's got to do magical things tomorrow just to make the cut. He's 136th. Rory's 143rd. Jordan Spieth, 129th at 8 over. We talked about picking on him, but all the guys are doing bad. Brooks Koepka,
the group of Rory,
5 over. Holy jeez.
The group of Rory McIlroy, Phil Mickelson, and Jordan Spieth, which is obviously a heavily featured group coming into the day, finished a combined 25 over
after one round.
It's a lot of DraftKings lineups wiped out right there.
You said it, buddy.
They shot a combined 25 over on a wind whipped morning this morning. Mickelson played his first round in 77. Spieth was a minus an 8 over.
Yeah, smooth 78.
Yeah. A minus 8 plus over 78.
Wow. So this is Rory. Rory 80, Day 79, Spieth 78, Mickelson 77, Koepka 75. There's guys on the course, Gabe. Stenson's 4 over right now. John Rahm's 4 over. Tiger's 3 over. Ricky Fowler in at 3 over actually looks good. Your T48.
Dustin Johnson's like 100.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I hate to say this, it's a four-round tournament, but Dustin Johnson, with his length, getting help from the officials, too, on the balls that we'll talk about in a second, too. Guy from Sky Sports, oh, I stepped on Mr. Johnson's ball. Well, that's great. Then he gets a nice lie instead of being
it's
buried under the hay.
I really
this guy doesn't need any help, Gabe. He doesn't need any help.
I really don't understand how I'm not a richer man. I foresee the future all the time.
You actually predicted
Dustin,
that.
Dustin Johnson's ball was in the rough, and it's a pretty thick rough.
That was hay.
And, yeah, so let's call it some...
We'll call it hay.
Hay.
Thick hay.
Thick hay, rough. It was buried.
It was.
Looked like a cornfield. Yeah, so the ball was completely buried. He was really, really screwed, yet there was like 13 people looking for a stupid ball. Like, everybody was there. Tiger Woods was out there, the TV crew, the on-course announcers, you had marshals. I think there were fans, like, lingering around, sort of poking around, looking
we'll
for the ball.
We'll find it, Dustin.
And I said, right before it happened, I said, watch, somebody's going to step on the ball, and they're going to say after, oh, we stepped on the ball, and then it's going to save them. Now, we thought at the time it was Tiger Woods. I wasn't sure because Tiger Woods was standing there as well. So I said, man, this is going to be unbelievable. I said, I bet you they're going to find Tiger's ball, and then the marshal's going to make an excuse for him and say after, wow, somebody stepped on it, so we'll give you a drop, a free drop. And it was Dustin's ball, and that's exactly what happened. The cameraman for Sky Sports stepped on the stupid ball.
Yeah, and him and the announcer go like right onto it, Gabe, and then they go, oh, don't worry. And
but the thing
the guy,
is,
why is he looking for the ball?
The thing is, Dustin Johnson was screwed. There was no way in hell he was going to be able to get out of that.
No, he'd have to take it unplayable.
Yeah, because basically they would have found it, and he wouldn't have been able to slice through that. And even if he wouldn't have done it. He wouldn't have done it. He would have just taken
Buddy,
the. Yeah, he would have taken the stroke.
We saw the next shot. He barely nuzzled out of that hay with the
exactly.
good lie. He
so
chipped out.
He was screwed. Yep. But because they had all these people, and I even said at the time, it's like you're tampering with a crime scene. I felt like Grissom in CSI.
Yeah, don't touch it.
What the hell are you stupid gumshoe uniforms doing? You know what I mean? Like, this is a crime scene. Like,
why isn't it?
You got a U.S. Open, a major championship, the favorite of the damn tournament, Dustin Johnson, ball. Let's show a little bit of caution here. You got like 17 people standing around, fishing, everyone's standing around. I knew right away. I said, somebody's going to stand. You're obviously standing on the ball. I said it. One of you idiots are standing on the ball, And it took him like 3 minutes. Oh, yeah, we're standing on the ball.
Actually, it seemed like it took longer than that. He also probably got a time break, too. And why is the guy from Sky Sports in the hay looking for the ball? You're an on-course reporter. You should be. You could say, hey, there's guys looking for the ball. But the fact him and his cameraman dove right in there and sunk the ball gave him a free drop.
Tiger Woods was out there trying to help him look for the ball.
He's been helped before in tournaments. It's just, I don't understand it. It makes no sense for all those guys to be out there.
First off,
in that tight proximity, hitting balls and changing results.
There should be a time limit.
Yeah, there is. 5 minutes. There usually is from the time that you lose a ball. But you know what? It's kind of a loose 5 minutes. You know they're not on the clock.
I've seen 13 minutes. They're out there looking for a ball.
The Open Championship, I think it was 21, was it not?
Yeah.
So it's supposed to be a penalty shot. So a penalty stroke. Sorry. And I've seen guys for like 15 minutes.
I would make it like 2 minutes.
I like 2 minutes. Yep.
Basically, I would say,
from the time
if you can't find your ball. No, from the time that you get there.
Yeah.
So from the time that you get to the estimated area, you sort of have a Marshall tick.
Ding.
And basically the answer to me, 2 minutes. You're lucky it's not one. The answer to me would be like, listen, if you can't find your ball, it means it was a bad shot. It's pretty simple. You hit a bad shot, buddy. We can't find your ball, and we can't stand here all day looking for your ball.
You are now hitting three, not two.
Just take the damn drop and move on.
Yeah, I just that was shocking to me seeing that many amount of guys looking for it. And you knew it was going to happen when you can't see him put the thing right on the bottom there. Just stupid. That's the guy who needs the less help to win the tournament too.
I'm looking at this course, and I got to tell you, I would be really sincerely screwed if I was playing at this course.
We shoot 200 on that course. Who are we kidding? And we're not even like the worst
golfers
in the world. But
I don't think I'd be able to get through 18 rounds. I would probably quit after like 10. I'd just tap out.
I'm thinking frustration. The 11th, 12th hole, clubs are being broken, thrown into the hay, and I might just walk off.
I don't think I'd get to the 10th or 12th before.
No, it's tough. I'll tell you, no, but now these guys...
it would take me like 7 shots to get to the green, if I'm lucky. And then once I get to these nasty, look how big these greens are.
Oh, yeah.
I get to these big greens, I'd be like 5 putting and stuff. You know what I mean?
Morenci, just mark me down for a 20.
You know what, though?
I'm with you,
I always think, though, the putting is sort of the equalizer.
You're not on this course.
No, but, you know, for idiots like us, like these guys almost overanalyze it. You know what I mean? I just get up here like it's a mini putt cam. You know what I mean? Just try to hit the ball towards
the
damn
hole. Look at the line.
Hole.
Just hit it, baby.
Like, honestly, it'd be fun to actually try to play here. Yeah, estimated score, I think 200. Like, that'd be a good bet. Could I break 200 here?
Yeah, counting penalty strokes. Like, everything.
Official legal score. Yeah, can I break 200? What tees do I tee off from, though? That's another question.
If you're playing the tips, so say 225, 4,500 yards of this course.
Dude, I played.
Oh, God, help me.
I played, it's called, look it up. Look up this course right now. It's called El Diablo.
El Diablo?
It's like Diablo, but Diabla.
Diabla, okay.
Except of an O, it's an E.
El Diablo. Is it Montreal?
El Diablo.
Is it in Montreal?
Yeah.
Golf. Okay, we'll take a look here. El Diablo. Oh, yeah, here it is. Le Diable Golf Course, Mont Tremblant. Is that the one?
Yes, sir.
Oh, God, that course looks still. Oh, my God. Look at the swells here. Oh, my. This course looks absolutely like death.
It looks
tough. Look at the trees, too.
Freddie Couples designed it.
Beautiful track. What a nice course.
They played a skids game.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Like the big boys at the time, Ernie Els, John Daly. You know, this is about 15 years ago. I was on the radio, and I was on the AM radio station, so you get the perks. No perks on national radio, but you get perks on AM radio.
Local, yeah. Food coupons,
yeah,
too.
You get golf and all this
local stuff.
Hey,
thanks for the pie.
So we had perks, and I went with my boy Steve Rapp, actually.
Nice.
And it was the day after. So, like, we were the sponsors, like the radio station type
get
deal.
Get to play the course after the skins.
Yeah, so the day after on the Monday, they threw me a bone. And they're like, all right, so if you guys want to go play over there. So we went up to Tremblant and we played, and it was the morning after the event. So we played an official, and the grandstands were still up.
Yeah, so they left the flags. They left everything.
Oh, yeah,
there.
It was
they
the exact same. So we played a PGA the next damn day, and I was at like 123 around the 16th hole.
It's tough, man.
Like, I'm not exaggerating. I literally I couldn't clear, like, the water. I just couldn't do it. Like, I lost, like, six balls, and I wanted to stop, and Steve Rapp, and I was losing money. Like, I knew I didn't have a hope in hell of winning. And the guy I was playing with was like, no, man, you got to just get it over the water. So I was like, all right, give me some balls. And I lost, like, four of his into the drink.
Nice ones, too.
Yeah, and Eddie was like, all right, just take the damn drop. I was like, I told you. I was playing pro Vs. I was like a scared kid, like, you know, that wouldn't get in a pool. Yeah. I was like, I can't clear the water, Dad. Like, I just can't do it. No, I couldn't do it, Cam. Like, I was like one after another, bang, bam, and it kept just going up, and bam. I couldn't clear the water, but it was really fun playing with the grandstand.
That's cool.
Oh, dude, once I ricocheted a shot, like, I would have killed a human if they were sitting there. Like, I smoked a ball, dude. Like, I got, like, full contact, but it sailed
bam,
on me. Would
have been right through somebody's face.
Oh, yeah, ricocheted. It was that great sound. Ding, like, right off the aluminum, like, nice, grandstand.
Nice and pure.
And it rolled on the green.
Nice.
Yeah, and the guys, they were like, that's your best shot of the day.
No, the best.
Yeah, I kind of got lucky on that one.
No, the best is Morenci. First comment in this course, Billy Goats. Billy Goats need to apply. That's what the guy, like, that's a guy from Boston who's a scratch golfer said. He said, this course killed him. Billy Goats need to apply.
When I say 123, like I said, I was probably on the 14th hole. I actually, like you said, like, I started throwing clubs and, like, I was really melting down.
Golf really sucks when it's that hard.
Beautiful course, though.
Yeah, beautiful.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Yeah, we should see if we can set it up, actually. Use some of our connections. See if we can play like a PGA. We'll play like a PGA. Because, you know, the golf tournament that we had last year, we just got blasted. We didn't really keep that much score much.
It was also basically like a goat track. Like, it wasn't a real golf course.
I wanted to keep score. My plan was to keep score seriously for the first nine and then get really drunk on the back nine. But I got frustrated after like two or three holes. And then that's when I just started screwing around and taking multiple shots. And I was like, yeah, whatever. I'm not going
to. Those beers got flowing, too, with our friends from the East Coast. We knew we were done. We were done when Scroby's group are hitting the flagpole and stuff with that one clown that they brought there, Brian. That guy was just like, oh, look at me. I'm putting for eagle. It's like, screw you guys. Yeah, we were done. We just got into the suds.
Yeah, that's the thing about golf. It's always frustrating. There's always like an unathletic dude that
everyone knows. Yeah, I know.
That just shows up, and we know, dude, man, this guy smokes more weed than me and Snoop Dogg combined. He's like an old dude, man. He's like probably like 52 or something. The guy was like Freddie Couples, man. He was throwing darts.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we didn't believe him because he showed us his scorecard once. Like early, he pulled up, how you guys shooting?
He also brags a lot.
I was like, not well. And he's like, look at my card. And I was like, you're full of shit, man. I said, you're not shooting par. He's like, I'm shooting par. I'm like, you're not shooting par. And then we pulled up to a hole with him, and then, yeah, there he was, like right off the flag.
180 yards, hit the flag to 2 feet. We're like, okay.
He's like, I haven't played in 2 years either. It's like, yeah, just shut up.
Trust me, he tells my buddies too at the coffee shop. He's like, I dusted off Cam and Gabe. And it's this big thing. Hey, he's still telling people. It's like,
dusted off.
Yeah.
Dude. I was like 12 beers deep after the fourth hole.
I know. I got him at the end, though, when we were playing, when he gave me a couple strokes, and I took his money.
It is pretty bad, though, that I would get out there and play again, but I remember the ramifications and the damage that that event took on me.
Yeah, it was bad. You were beat down. I had sunstroke. It actually, the whole day, yeah, it was tough.
We all got sunstroke out of that deal.
Yeah, it was rough. Rough day. Golf's tough.
It should be
really easy, but it's
golf's supposed to be relaxing. We turn it into it's a grind where it's like a sunburn torture fest.
It was torture.
And the thing is, too, we were drinking like warm beer too.
Michelob Ultras too, really light.
It was like warm beer in the hot sun, so it really gets you hammered too, and you don't feel good. Like I just remember like sweating beer out when I was putting. Yeah, this guy, we dusted us off.
Yeah.
That's the thing, too. That guy wasn't drinking. He was just smoking.
That's exactly
it's a big difference, buddy.
That's the thing about those
we're all
things.
Liquored up on the course, and you're just, smoking dubs in a golf cart. It's a big difference.
Those guys never hit the liquids. They always hit the tree. They always never get into the liquids. That's one of their advantages.
Tell him next time he talks crap.
Trust me, he talks crap all the time.
Tell him Renzi tells you, good for you. You beat a drunk. You beat a couple of drunk dudes.
Exactly.
You beat a couple of drunk dudes that hadn't played in years.
Trust me, he likes to brag all the time, every time. Every time somebody I know in there, he just tells them how he dusted us off. I'd like to get that guy back, actually.
All right, so New Jersey is up and running right now, and I know that Lou Mione, Mike Cardano, and company were over at Monmouth Racetrack, Joe Lisi.
Nice.
And we sent Joe Lisi a message asking him to check in with us from Monmouth, but Joe Lisi, all it took was basically about 2 hours for sports betting to be legal in New Jersey, and he's already blowing me off. He's taking pictures with the governor.
Hi, everybody.
Joe loves his pictures, right? He's taking pictures with the governor and, the president of Monmouth and the mayor, local mayor. I think Joe might live near Monmouth.
Nice. Convenience.
That's right. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy was the first one to place his bet at Monmouth Racetrack, and now a Will Hill Sportsbook at Monmouth. His first bet placed, so the first bet placed at Monmouth Racetrack ever in history books, will be known. He bet $20 that Germany will win the World Cup.
Ooh, nice.
And he bet $20 that the New Jersey Devils will win next year's Stanley Cup.
You might as well put that one in the fire, but I like his style.
Well, he's the governor of New Jersey, so he's got to show some love.
I understand.
So did you know you cannot bet on New Jersey college teams?
No Rutgers.
No Seton Hall.
No Seton Hall.
No St. Peter's.
Yeah, it's interesting. Very.
That changes everything. I was going to go, but now I know that I can't bet on a St. Peter's Iona game. Screw you, man.
Peacocks and Gales.
Nah, they left that for the mob. They had to leave like something. They had to like basically say, all right, now, because now if you're a bookie in New York or New Jersey, it changes things a little bit.
For sure.
But
you'll still have your regulars, won't you?
But not really.
Yeah.
Not really. I was speaking with Dane Martinez about this, and, we're talking about, it's great, legalized sports betting in New Jersey. And I said, Dane, what are you going to be doing on Sunday morning? You're going to be getting on the subway and going over to Monmouth? Or are you going to be clicking from your couch?
That's kind of what I do. It's pretty simple when you got offshores. We don't
like if I told you right now exactly that, okay, you can bet single games at Niagara Falls.
Or Woodbine would be a closer thing with the horses.
Yeah,
right?
Okay, exactly. Yeah, Woodbine. You can bet single games at Woodbine.
It wouldn't change my life anyway. No. Know what it would do? The only time I'd go to Woodbine, I'd make a night out of the Woodbine with the horses and the games.
So now the only thing that would change with me would be like, all right, I'll plan an outing there. Maybe I'll go check it out one Sunday for NFL or something
we'll hang out there. Do a buffet, watch the games.
And watch the games there.
Yeah, I agree.
But, it's not going to change the daily habit immediately. But it's good. It's great.
Oh, it's very good.
And on a Sunday during the NFL with the Jets and the Giants games going on, it's going to be over the top. But the Eagles games, it's going to be a great atmosphere. You're going to have that Vegas sportsbook vibe across America right now.
No, I agree 100%. That's the thing. When they go to Woodbine, when I go there on Sundays, I'm usually looking, and then they had the NFL crowd there. They're betting, but it's not the same single.
So the first,
that's the problem.
The first ticket that was cashed, the first ever winner at Monmouth Park, was will there be a goal in the first 32 minutes of Russia and Saudi Arabia?
Yes.
Yes. $5 bet. I like how the guy covered up the barcode. It's like, dude, it's a $5
bet. You didn't win the New York Powerball, bud. What did he win, 979?
955.
Yeah, 955.
Like, I don't, like... Like, he covered up the barcode, like, the barcode part.
You don't want to know me.
Yeah, like, people, like, they always, like, people covered it up like there's sort of like a barcode or a serial number, right? That people don't want to share whenever they show their tickets and stuff. But it's like, dude.
He doesn't want to get on the books.
Like, bro, you're holding the ticket in your hand, like, right now. And secondly, it's $5. Like, what do you think? Is someone at home right now is going to call the Nevada State and Gaming Commission, the New Jersey State Gaming Commission? I have a $5 ticket that I want to cash online here that I don't have in my, you know. It's like, come on. Good bet, though. I wish I would have taken that.
Yeah, it was a good bet.
So yesterday we talked, yesterday we learned a lesson. We learned a few lessons this morning, Cam. Basically, it was $182 worth of lessons.
I'm learning a lot of lessons, too.
So that, remember yesterday we talked about, will there be a throw-in?
Yeah.
In the first minute of the game.
It was at 48 seconds.
And we were wondering, man, come on. Why is it only even money? There won't be a throw-in in the first second. No, it wasn't 48 seconds. It seemed like it was like 12 seconds, 10 seconds. Basically, the game started, and
boom,
there was a throw-in.
Yeah. I just looked at the clock when it went, when the guy was doing the thing, and I was like, that's under. That's way under.
So, yeah, we've learned our lesson there. Don't bet will there be a throw-in? Yeah, I don't think it got to 48 seconds. I literally think it lasted 8 seconds. Like, it was that quick, Ken. The game started. Saudi Arabia got possession. They kicked it back, and then right away, just as I was worried about, they tried the big, long kick, pass forward. It didn't go out of bounds. And, man, the ball was like they were playing along the sideline for a few seconds, and then inevitably, man, poof, off of someone's foot, and they're out of bounds.
Looked too good to be true, buddy. Too good to be true. Just the way you're doing these soccer props, you're taking a second look at. I'm doing these with golf. I got the same thing. Like, I got all these guys top 10. I'm going to get murdered again. Like, I could just feel it right now. There's nobody who's a good golfer that's even close to the top other than Dustin Johnson.
It's a good thing we didn't play that.
Parlay? Yeah, we would have done. I can't lie to you on the show. It's basically up in smoke right
like
now.
Rory's not making the cut.
No. Jason Day, not Spenny Max Parlay, our friend. He's in big trouble. That's what I'm talking about. This no one predicted what was happening today. You got Dustin Johnson leading at 2 under, and then all the other stars. Everybody's 10 over, 9 over, 8 over, 6 over. This is a nightmare, an absolute nightmare, Gabe.
Yeah, the
and they don't cash these bets until Sunday when the tournament's. That's what happens with the account. Then you go, you're all happy, and then you go.
The sports book.
Then you see the damage.
The sports books are going to be happy with the chaos.
Big time.
They'll be happy with the chaos now, but they won't be if depends on who wins after and what they have to pay out depending on how many people have the winner when it's all said and done. It's still early.
It is.
But
Dustin looks real good, though.
Look, we were looking to pick on Tiger Woods in all those head-to-head matchups. We were looking to pick on Spieth a little bit. It is still early. There's these guys have another crack at it tomorrow. But
that's true, and hopefully the conditions. We don't know what's going to happen with the wind. You got to get the right side of the
Phil
drop.
Mickelson at 77 could still scratch his way back and make it
with good weather.
Even Spieth could go on a run. Rory at 80s. That's a big hole.
Yeah.
10, you know, when you're 10, 11 shots off the pace, you got a problem.
He's T143, right? And I got to believe after today, the cut line's probably going to be, it's going to be around, I'd say 5 or 6 over. Actually, none of these guys are out yet because there's so many guys at +7 or +8. Doing the math, if Rory McIlroy or
guys
Jason
that just
Day
shoot 73 2 days in a row are going to get in.
You know what, Gabe? If any of these guys shoot 2 or 3 under par tomorrow, they're probably going to make the cut easily. Like, there's still guys on the course that are 6, 7, 8 over, right? They haven't got, by the end of the day, Jordan Spieth is 8 over at T127. I guarantee he's inside 100. he'll definitely raise over 27 guys, maybe more than that. Too many guys are out there panicking right now. Doubles and triples are all over the board. It's true. So, yeah, it's not over yet, but you just don't want to be in Rory McIlroy, plus 1080. That's just – he just didn't grind it out there. A lot of guys, they grind it out 75, 76s. That's the difference. They're going to make it.
Dr. J placed a bet over at the Borgata on the Eagles to repeat as Super Bowl champions.
What do you get him at?
The action is coming in. I don't know. He's not showing his ticket.
None. Barcode.
Even Dr. J's.
Yeah, the barcode. Don't want to.
Dr. J's probably going to throw this ticket out after. Is this photo up done yet? I'm out of here. Like, Dr. J's going to come back with his $20 ticket in 8 months. Can I get my $180? West Virginia will be next. So as it is now. As it is now, of course, you've got Nevada. You've got the state of Nevada. Delaware is now taking sports bets. New Jersey, welcome aboard. This is great news. New Jersey, so now the next one will be West Virginia. West Virginia will be up and running in a week or so.
Good for West Virginia.
They're promising by the end of the month. So by July 1st, West Virginia will have legalized sports betting. With Mississippi following West Virginia in early July. Mississippi are now just weeks away as well.
Good stuff. It just seems like the dominoes are starting to fall. Just a question I have.
For shame for New York.
Well, yeah, like you're you're New York.
Like,
come
really?
On.
Cuomo, like, and company, like, really? I hate to agree with a chick from Sex and the City, but you really are like a stuck-up uncle. You're like an old-time, marijuana's a gateway drug. I don't know, we can invest in it. It's like, you know, look, New Jersey's got legalized recreational marijuana. I don't know when the shop's open. Maybe somebody could let me know exactly the details about that. I'd like to know.
Yeah, it's very important news.
I'd like to know. But you got the sports betting in New Jersey now. New York's got neither. New York's got neither. And news out of the New York State Legislature today up there in that corrupt cesspool known as Albany, New York. Fitting that the hockey team was called the River Rats. Bunch of rats up there.
Yeah. The River Rats.
The best name.
I know it is. Who do you play
They for? Don't exist anymore.
I know. They play the River.
Son of a bitch.
I know. That's a great name. Who do you play for? Albany River Rats.
They moved to Binghamton. I banged a chick from Binghamton.
Oh, did
once.
You? I banged a chick from Binghamton.
Yeah, it just has a good ring to it.
Yeah. Banged her. Binghamton. Betts.
Not one of my wasn't one of my proudest moments. Hey, we'll put it that way.
No, Morency, we all take one for the team, buddy. It happens.
So as I was stating, so yeah,
New York leaving it on the table.
Yeah, news out of the state legislature today is that they're kicking us down the road. They're not going to be able to figure this out on time.
Really?
Going to have to wait till next year.
Well, just let the money go to New Jersey then, New York.
That's right.
Hey, you know what? You're sitting there, you know, close. Well, think about
people
all the people
used to
who
make
live
fun
in
of
New York.
New Jersey all the time.
New Jersey sounds like the way to go. It sounds like the place I'd rather live.
Who's got the weed? Who's got the games?
Games. New Jersey.
Where's the football stadium?
New Jersey. You just keep on, it just keeps on coming up, New Jersey, baby. You're right.
New Jersey Devils?
Yeah.
Got it all, baby.
Yeah. Stanley Cup winners?
Snooki?
Yeah, that's right. Jersey Shore?
Yeah, but, West
Lots
Virginia.
Can they bet on West Virginia games? That's the question.
I don't know.
Or do the local goon in West Virginia get a handle on that?
No, my guesstimation is that West Virginia won't be as anal about this, and we'll see.
Nah. You could bet on West Virginia Mountaineers games.
You know, I think who the guy that will decide is the mascot with the musket.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to ask him, hey, Jed,
hey,
is it all right if we bet on the games?
Davey, hey, Davey.
Give us one shot for yes, two for no.
Davey Crockett, what do you like today? I love that guy, though. He's got the coonskin hat and the rifle. Yeah, come on, Mountaineers. Have you ever been to Morgantown, Gabe?
No.
I drove through it. It's a pretty crazy place. I didn't stay there, though.
No,
I was only on a road
there.
Trip. Morgantown.
I'm waiting for them to legalize marijuana as well. Then we'll legalize sports betting and we'll legalize the weed and they serve alcohol at their football games.
That sounds like a place to go.
Then we got the trifecta.
Exactly. Morgantown, here we come.
But in all honesty, though, now listen, with these sports books, bookies are never going to go away in any area right now. People wonder, what about the bookies in the local areas right now?
They'll take action.
They're going to take action because people are going to want to bet on credit. Degenerates bet on credit. You know, that's the reality of the situation.
That is a truer statement has not been said on the show.
I'm looking at my portly friend here right now.
Yeah, we love credit.
I thought you were off the credit.
I know. I'm not betting on credit anymore. I'm just telling you we're on credit.
Sounds like you are.
No. I'm not on credit.
I don't know.
No, I'm not. I swear, I'm not on credit. I got accounts. Don't worry about it.
I don't know. I'd like to.
Hey, I'm not prying in on your business when you go talk to Shane at the Shoppers Drug Mart. I always got your back. I'm not on credit. I haven't met him to pay the rest of the
I'd like to.
from that damn Liverpool.
How many
stuff.
People listening right now think the Cam's computer should be seized? I think we should analyze Cam's.
Oh, please don't.
Cam's history. We're not looking for porn. We're looking for local
lies.
Books.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Time Decisions continues. Fantasy Sports, our radio network. Yeah, knowing you as well as I do, Cam, I can't, you know. I didn't hear the conviction in your voice. Yeah. Like, I know you, so I could sort of tell, you know, that I think that, like, you're like George Costanza. It's not a lie if you believe it.
Kinda.
It's like sort of like, remember when he told Jerry, like, how to beat a lie detector test? Remember, Jerry. It's not a lie if you believe it.
That the problem with me, though, Gabe, is
so
you
in
don't
asking
answer,
you,
yeah, you don't
you're like, no, I'm not betting. And then it's like, wow. And then, you know what, you let it out. Like, this why, like, I wouldn't rob a bank with you. You'd crack.
Of course I would.
Yeah, you'd crack because where you let it out in your own. You're like, well, I have a lot of different accounts.
No, I do.
You could, you know, I didn't ask you about a lot of you. Like, you, basically, like, if I'm Matlock, like, we walked out and I'm telling Nancy Stafford there, you see how he turned red? Like you've talked about it. You couldn't be a poker player, dude. Like cards and stuff like that.
I learned my lesson the hard way, Gabe, when I was playing with those.
Like blackjack's fine.
Yeah, blackjack's great.
There's no bluffing.
Exactly.
It's like
it's
it doesn't
truth.
Matter.
It's to tell the truth.
But when you play poker,
I get murdered. Oh, I know. I told you when I was working at the golf club, they used to go, "Is Cam coming to the game?" And it wasn't just for the conversation. It was basically I was donating money. If you wanted free money, you can't. And then after a couple times, I'm like, I just can't play poker with these sharks. They go, Cam, just to tell you, we knew you had great cards. You started beating sweat. We knew you had bad cards.
If you play
you had
poker,
that look. Oh, yeah.
You need to wear a mask.
Yes, a full on
yeah, like
mask.
Not even like the hood.
No, a balaclava.
Yeah, no, like just put the full mask. They can't see anything. Like wear like just a Donald Trump mask.
Yeah, exactly.
They can't see your face.
You're correct.
You would still give it away. They'd realize, oh, look, he shakes his leg when he gets happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They'd catch on, though.
It's true. You know, I can't pull one past you, Morenci. It's a statement that's partly true and partly false, but I'm going to tell you I do have multiple accounts, which is true, but I have
nobody doubted that you have multiple sports accounts.
Because of the U.S. Open Major and I didn't refund it a couple other ones I had, I went on credit through another book out of state. Like, it's not the local guy who you know were like, please don't go and do that again, but... Yeah, I had some credit in an old account that I kind of tapped into. I apologize. I can't lie to you. We host shows together. You already knew. Like I can't. You got me. I can't even tell a white lie. That's the thing about my girlfriend too.
We've got
she knows
you.
That, like she knows when I get the like when I lie about the store was that there? No, like you know, I say, yo, yes, it was. You just didn't want to pay the money for it. You were cheap.
And also, well, you know, to be honest, too, you gave it away as well, in which stating that you're going to get killed on Sunday.
Yeah, because, that's a great, great point.
Yeah, because you're getting killed now. Like if you were betting, like in reality,
I
like
would already
now,
given the money.
You'd
away.
Be like, I just got killed. You'd be like, man, I just got killed. I just lost.
You're right.
Instead, you said, no. You said, man, I got all these guys in the top 10. I'm going to get murdered on Sunday.
Great point, Gabe. Kind of like on Dateline when they say he was the good guy.
I'm a good investigator.
That's the thing. That's what they do on those shows.
I'd be sitting there. I'd be Mr. Stewart. Yeah. We never asked you about multiple accounts.
So you go up to that. You go up to the murderer and go, when he goes, he was, whatever. And you go, hey, who told you he was dead? You know what I'm saying? No, they catch guys on little slips like that. The guy's like, oh, my God, I did all that work, and I slipped up in the interrogation room. God. You said it, though. Sometimes it's the language, the little things, the little ticks, of sweat.
Cam's got no vault.
I don't have a vault.
He's got no vault.
You're right.
You crack under pressure.
I just can't lie. Lying's never been good. It's just something I'm not very good at.
Getting hot in here, Sunfeld.
It's getting
Light's getting you.
You know what, Marantzi? Your lights are getting to me, actually. They're so bright. I don't know what kind of wattage you got, but I had I've had concussions playing hockey and in football and other things. Those lights, if I look at them too long, they give me a headache and they make me dizzy.
Well, it took us about 3 minutes to break Cam down.
It's true. Yeah, I'm not a very hard guy to break down. Just the facts. Yeah, this tournament's not going very well.
Man, here's another hot chick. Married teacher and choir director details having sex with student 8 times on school property.
Yeah, never happened to us.
I can't have sex 8 times on this property that I live in.
Great point.
Like, I got to go back to school.
Yes, you do. You're talking about, you know, you're giving me the speech about, hey, Cam, life is short and stuff like that. I'll tell you, man.
You want to get laid. Yeah, go to high school.
Exactly. The things you know now,
teachers.
Too. Things you know now that you could have gone in high school. God, man, it's just.
I like to think that, if I was in high school now, that I'd be one of these kids banging one of the teachers.
That would be, yes. That would be the ultimate
goal. I like
the
hope. Yeah, but I could be wrong. You know what I mean?
No, you got to have that hope, and you have to have that goal. If you have the knowledge going into it now, you got to think there's a teacher that wants to get naked with you. Right? Remember.
Maybe I got to start taking classes at a senior citizen's home. Now, you notice, though, it's like the teachers
are never these teachers are not even great, like studs or anything.
They're never ugly. No. These teachers are always attractive.
They're always hot. Probably at home. Buddy's not giving her the love and the attention. The little kid, she sees them all nervous. Hey, Miss Avery, you know, I did well on my assignment. You want to stay after class? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. That's the thing. It's like
does this make me a bad person? Because, this story depresses me. And instead of depressing me like that's sad, like society or the poor victim, it depresses me that it never happened to me.
It's not you. Exactly.
Like, why can't, a teacher, perform oral sex on me 8 times?
That would be so awesome. I know. It never happened.
Like, it's just, it's wrong.
I got to be honest with you, Gabe. I try.
It's unfair.
I had dreams about landing a teacher.
You
too,
figure, like, no, just, never, not never, even eight times. Worked. How about once?
Yeah, I'll take anything. I'll take heavy petting.
I've lived in the same condo for nearly 3 years. None of my neighbors have offered to perform oral sex on me. Am I asking too much?
No, not really? Am I asking too much?
You know?
Oh, man.
I understand, times have changed, but.
Yeah, but still.
Haley Reed.
That's her name?
Yeah, she sounds crazy.
What state? Ohio? Just guessing, because the last time I watched on Dateline, it was a chick who was used to be... She was a teacher and a Bengals cheerleader, too.
I know about that chick.
So I like to go back to Ohio, and I'm guessing about these things. It's a state that I target.
No, the media never has full details.
No details?
It says Oldham County.
Where's Oldham County?
I don't know.
It's kind of vague.
I'm going to look it up right now.
Yeah, Oldham County? Okay.
Oldham County. You know what?
Oldham
County.
I think Ohio might be a good guess. I'm going to say
Kentucky.
Oh, God. I was no way.
It's very – Cincinnati, you know how close they are, too.
That's a border state.
Exactly.
Cam, I swear to God, you said it too fast. I was going to
say
Kentucky.
Kentucky?
She sort of had a Kentucky look to her.
Funny. You're it's almost weird. Like, your biorhythms right now, you said you were going to talk about – like, you knew it was Kentucky. We were watching the golf. You predicted things happening in balls, but it's not helping you anyway financially.
No, but it's been my entire life like this.
So how do we harness?
I'm a day late and a dollar short. It's like I get these premonitions and then boom. It's like
now you made me sad because that sucks.
Yeah.
Like having things that you could predict that happened a day. I'm depressed. I'm not having sex with any teachers either. So. Yeah, no, there was a few, and I remember in high school there was a couple teachers that were really nice to
Kentucky,
me.
I think
we could have got in there, but no, never happened. It says Oldham is the highest income Kentucky location per capita, too.
So the rich part of Kentucky.
LaGrange. Okay. Oldham County. I hope that, it says Oldham County, Kentucky. So.
Well, speaking of Kentucky here, former Kentucky football player Marcus Walker was found with over $95,000 in cash during an arrest.
$95,000.
And I believe he had a football helmet full of cocaine.
Wow.
SEC Country reports the police found over $95,000 in cash. There was $70,312 found in a bag near a closet, an additional $25,000 found in a box. Plenty of drug paraphernalia to go on cash, including 52.86 grams, what police suspected to be cocaine.
52.6 grams. Oh, my God.
Yes, over 5 pounds of marijuana as well.
Yeah, this guy's really got a factory going on.
Sounds like he was the kid to know on campus, it sounds like to me. Sounds like a nice kid, plays football, and likes to get the party going.
Exactly.
What's the big deal? To me, like having 5 pounds of weed and 56 grams of cocaine, in today's day and age, that's like a kid spiking the punch. Boys will be boys.
Remember what they did? Oh, I saw another one, Marantz. Know what they did to those kids in Rochester?
I swear I saw a freaking headline, though, that, like, the kid literally, I'm not kidding, like, he had a football helmet or a football, and he
that
had carved,
like, it was embedded in the helmet?
Yeah.
Like, in a sack? That's brilliant.
Yeah, so what
going
about?
Going into the helmet.
What about the kids?
No, I was saying, there was a kid who, there was another story. This happened a couple years ago, but they went to, it was two football players from the University of Rochester, right? And these girls lured them online. They say, hey, you guys want a party? You want a party? Then they came in there. But it was mistaken identity. The other guy on the team walked into one of these drug guys. He stole 4 pounds of weed from him. They thought it was the black guy on the team with the guy. So the girls who knew the drug dealers go, hey, you want to get naked, whatever? They go to a party. These guys
set up.
They tied him up for 2 days.
And I saw that.
You remember that one, right? Yeah, no, it was absolutely crazy. And that happened over that. They basically tortured these guys over 4 pounds of marijuana, which is, when you really think about it, that's like, whoa, man, slow down. Like, these guys almost got killed for that amount.
Yeah, I saw the date.
It was crazy, man. It was on again. I was just like, wow.
They smashed, like, light bulbs over the guy's head in a bathtub.
Covered in blood.
They tortured him.
They had, like, hedge trimmers up to them and stuff. We're going to cut them. Like, it was awful, man. That way, the ringleader got a lot of time.
I believe that the kid's the kid that survived, actually, I think he's a good piano player.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. At the end of the piece, he played some piano. That's exactly what happened.
See, I remember everything. Doesn't help me make money, though.
That's what I was going to say. I go, we got to start making some money.
LeBron James, you want to make money. LeBron James going to the Lakers.
The Lakers, yeah. What happened to Houston? You think the Lakers actually? Do you think it would make sense because those young guys on the team would listen to him? I can tell you that.
Yeah, and they're pretty good, actually, the young guys on the team.
Yep. With him too, he could be the boss. There's a lot of positives to the situation. If you want, it's similar to Cleveland, where okay, guys, it's my show. The team is young enough to listen. He's good enough to make them a better team. I'm not sure if they're going to win with him, but I can tell you one thing: going into a star dynamic like Philadelphia or Houston is a hell of a lot different than the Lakers, Gabe. You know those kids. When LeBron comes there, if he was going to go there,
they're
listening.
But Paul George would go there as well.
Oh, that's an absolute.
So it would be a 1-2. And if you actually add it up, listen, wherever he goes, nobody's beating the Warriors now anyways.
For one more year.
He goes to Houston. They're not beating him next year. Maybe they'll compete. But ultimately, yeah, the Warriors have another year or two left in them. But the Lakers have good young players. Man, Randall's a stud. I've always been a Randall fan. But there's word that they might trade him.
Kuzma's good?
Kuzma's very, very, very good. Brandon Ingram looks like a future star.
Good call.
So you've got good young talent. We're not even bringing up Lonzo Ball.
Who's going to get better?
And we didn't talk about Lonzo Ball and his stupid rap diss track in which he's making fun of his teammate and Kyle Kuzma. It's like, dude, you don't even play. Like, you're just such a joke. Like, if Lonzo Ball wasn't part of this Laker operation, I'd really be buying in. All right, a quick update right now from the U.S. Open. The boy of summer. Russell Henley.
Russell Henley.
Down,
birdies are falling down.
Saw a deadhead sticker on a Cadillac. Don't look back.
Don't you ever look back.
I prefer the Atari's version. She says, I saw a black flag sticker on a Cadillac.
Instead of a Grateful Dead sticker on a Cadillac.
So Russell Henley is -2 through 13 right now. Dustin Johnson, -2. Through nine, Scott Piercy is done for the day, -1.
Let's give Scott Piercy some love. He finished, when things were tough, when the other guys, so when Rory McIlroy and Jason Day were shooting a combined 19 over Gabe, Scott Piercy went out there and shot a 69. Ian Boulder went out there and shot a 69. More power to Scott Piercy. He's a guy
you could have a ban here.
You take your DraftKings lineup with Scott Piercy a lot of the time.
You could have a ban here. You got Henley from the Eagles,
yep.
Piercy from Rat. And Duff from Guns N' Roses.
That's right. Jason Duff.
And you got Kim Mitchell.
I am a wild party.
You got, I could give you a ban for every one of these players.
Matthew Pavon. That's a tough one. You know a Pavon? That's tough.
Yeah, you threw me a tough one.
Oh, no, that's not even fair. Justin Rose, you know Rose.
Poison, every rose has its thorn.
Oh, yeah, songs. Okay, I thought you were talking about, like, people in the band. I don't think you're going to find a guy named Charles Howell III in any rock band either. Maybe at, at the Twist Social there.
Reminds me of Gilligan's Island, Charles Howell III.
Yeah, that's right. Charlie Hoffman. Ryan Fox, like Fox, that's a good rock and roll name. Fox, Ryan Fox.
Who's this guy? Who's Grimmer?
Oh, Grimmer. Yeah, Grimmer's that, he's a big dude. Will Grimmer. Yeah, he's a big ginger. I think he
Grim Reaper.
Yeah, we're
the Grimmer Reaper.
The Grim Reaper went, what school did he go to again? I think he went to an SEC school.
Grimmer's sixth place right now.
Yeah, he's playing really well. +1. Good stuff.
Pavori, you're talking about.
No,
huh?
Pavon. Yeah, but the Frenchman, Matthew Pavon, he's T6 right now. One over. Rose is one over.
Matthew Pavon.
Howell, one over. Ryan Fox.
Cabrera-Bella's having a decent day.
Cabrera-Bella's really hanging in there. Scheifele, +1. Your boy, Pat Perez, playing great golf when we never have him, +1. Hanging around, Steve Stricker, +1. Yeah, very tough tournament, Gabe. I don't know what's going to happen.
Where's my boy, Doug Gim?
Oh, Doug Gim, actually, let's I think he's about Gim? 6 or 7 over. I looked at him earlier. Gim is...
I don't like it. I'm scrolling, and I still don't see
trust
him.
Me, you don't even have to worry till he's over 6 or 7 over. Everybody is.
Burmeister having a tough time
over
there.
The Dean? The Dean got strapped today.
Burmeister 7 over.
Hey, Burmeister, and he's got lots of holes left, too. Like, these guys are getting lit up. Shinnecock, for an easy... That's the thing. If the wind plays down, like they can make some birdies, but you can't make birdies in these conditions. Like, look at these guys.
Wow. Remember we were talking about Garrett Rank.
Rank, what was he, 15 over?
Garrett Rank is an NHL linesman, an active NHL referee linesman. And, he's in second to last place.
What do you shoot?
+13.
That's, you know what? I'm going to actually defend. Okay, so we have an NHL referee shooting 3 worse strokes only than Rory McIlroy. You put that in perspective, I'm down with an 83 for a guy that
Rory
referee.
Was +10.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He's an NHL referee who qualified for the damn tournament.
He shot 83, yeah. Rory shot 80.
You know what? I'll go with the referee. More power to him. Screw you, Rory.
You imagine the odds?
You know what? I'm done with Rory McIlroy.
You imagine the odds that
now.
We would have got in a head-to-head Rory versus Garrett Rank at +3.5 only?
Oh, yeah.
Would have been like 300-1.
Exactly.
I'll take Garrett Rank in a head-to-head matchup +...
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Game time decisions.
Level 2. Thursday afternoon, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, iHeartRadio. I'm Gabriel Morenzi alongside Cam Stewart. World Cup of Soccer has begun. Russia victorious. 5-0. They say nil in soccer instead of nothing.
Nil.
5-0. Whatever language and whatever way you want to put it, it was ugly. Russia kicked the crap out of them. All right, so it's a big day in sports. The U.S. Open was today, June 14th. The World Cup countdown. We've all been anxiously waiting this, and it's the earliest start ever, actually, of the Canadian Football League regular season, June 14th. The earliest start they ever did was back in like 2004 or something like that. And I think it was June 15th. So it's beating it by one day.
One day.
Earliest start ever. And I say, bring it on. Let's bet on some football, watch some football. And you can watch the games, guys, on like ESPN, U, and online. And just check out ESPN. In the United States, if you want to watch the CFL, check out ESPN and ESPN Plus or whatever the hell it's on. And in Canada, of course, it is on TSN. You can lay it down and bet on the CFL over at mybookie.ag, and we'll tell you about that after. You get a 50% sign-up bonus. And, of course, you can play CFL Fantasy at DraftKings. And if you're going to be playing CFL Fantasy, then you want to be checking out Daily Roto. And the main guru for the CFL is Mr. Ben Kramer, who steps up and joins us. Ben, always a pleasure, man. How you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good day. Rainy day here in Saskatchewan, but it's a beautiful day for football elsewhere, hopefully.
Rain's a beautiful day for football, too. That's football weather. Is it going to be raining tomorrow for the Argos game, actually, tomorrow with the Rough Riders?
Looks nice and clear. Now, earlier on in the week, they were talking about something like 25-mile-an-hour winds for Friday night, but now it looks like it's all going to be calm and clear and probably around 10, 15 degrees. It'll be a perfect night for football tomorrow.
That's the thing about Rider games at Mosaic. You got to check the wind. It's like sometimes in Saskatchewan, Regina, it's like hurricane. Like it's unbelievable stuff.
You know what they say about games at in Saskatchewan and Winnipeg as well. If you don't like the weather, just wait 10 minutes.
Exactly.
Man, you see, that's the thing, guys, in the CFL. You'll see like four different sort of weather conditions in one game at times. So let's jump in here tonight. And the story of the game's over. DraftKings, guys, we've got a choice. You can play a single game showdown tonight, or you can play tonight's players in the week. So let's just sort of combine the two of them. But let's start off with the quarterback situation tonight. And it's sort of, do you spend the money on Mike Riley, or do you want to roll the dice and be a contrarian and take Strebler? Strebler is extremely inexperienced, guys. He only signed like in the first week of May. Quarterback coming out of South Dakota. He looked pretty good in week one of preseason. Then he was just 3 for 9 last week. He can scramble a little bit, but it's a tough spot to put him in. He's surrounded by a lot of weapons. What's your take on Strebler? And do you have any lineups? Are you going contrarian at all because he is so damn cheap for a starting quarterback?
Well, it's interesting with the showdown slate because you can actually play both quarterbacks in one lineup. They just make it all utility slots, and you get to pick your top five. So in most of our optimal lineups so far, Riley and Strebler both wind up in there. Riley, because he's such a good projection. He's projects probably 30% higher than any other player on the one-game slate at any position. And Strebler just projects as a good value. He might not be a great passer, that's yet to be seen, but he has a lot of rushing ability. He took off to rush nearly 11 times a game in college football. So that gives you a huge base to work from when you're building points. At only 7,000 on this one-game show-game slate, he does pretty well for us.
Yeah, think about the price difference too. Riley on the showdown, I have him as my quarterback at 16,300.
Interesting though that you can play two quarterbacks because it's not position. Every position is just utility.
Yeah, Gabe, I'm looking at it right now. You get five positions total, all utility. And that was the question I was going to ask Ben because I got Mike Riley in my lineup and I picked Andrew Harris as my running back because I think he's going to get a lot of touches because of the quarterback situation. So what about a guy, Ben, like obviously with only like under $6,000, Nick Dembski, like a third or fourth guy from Winnipeg? What are some of those options? Because if you're going to put Riley in the lineup, sounds expensive. You got to get some cheaper guys.
Yeah, there's a couple of really good cheap options on this showdown slate at receiver. I'd be hesitant to play too many of the Winnipeg receivers just because of the uncertainty with Streveler. If you're really taking a risk there, you may as well lock them up together and put in Streveler with some of his receivers. But the two cheap receivers that we like a lot with our projection system with Daily Roto this year, Kenny Stafford, he's only 4,000. Yep. And he's had some really big games in the past when he's had the chance to start. And then the little-known Nady Adjei comes in at minimum at 2,500, but he'll be starting in the slot this week. And if he even gets two or three receptions at $2,500, you're getting yourself quite a bargain.
It's going to be interesting to see it. I like where you're going with that at $2,500.
That's really good.
It's going to be interesting to see how the dynamic plays out, isn't it? With Zilstra gone and with Bowman gone right now, I have Stafford in the lineup. In the lineup as well. At $4,000. Cam mentioned Harris tonight, and I know you wrote about this, and I was reading about the Edmonton Eskimos offensive line, and they really are expecting big things out of this line. They're taking a lot of pride in it. And even though Mike Riley is a fantasy machine and he's very effective when he throws the football, this Edmonton team actually likes to play ball control and set up the pass, don't they? They like to run the ball a lot. And they've got a back right now. You know, C.J. Gable's always been good, former USC Trojan back, but he's never been in a good situation in Hamilton with good lines and a good rushing attack and a rushing base, playing with the sort of the circus that's been there. Gable really could have an impact. What do you think about Gable tonight, Ben?
Yeah, I love him for tonight. The reality is Andrew Harris has a lot of talent, but Winnipeg plays at one of the slowest paces that you're going to see, and Edmonton actually allowed the fewest plays per game of any defense in the CFL last season at only 49. So if you look at the pace of play and what their opportunity is going to be, right now we look at Edmonton for about 62 plays tonight and Winnipeg for maybe close to 50. So if you're looking for what your most likely options are, Gable is probably a better runner than Harris tonight overall, just because he's probably going to get more opportunities in the offense that ran the highest number of percentage running plays last year of anyone in the league.
Ben, I got to tell you, just looking at, I played the showdown, Morenci, but I'm going to put something together for the whole slate of games. And I'm looking at Calgary running back Terry Williams, $6,100. He's the starter on that team. They're going up against a Hamilton D that absolutely got shredded. 11 runs of 20 plus yards or more. It seems like a good spot for a very good price for a guy that's starting.
Yeah, he's our top value play on the slate for the full four-game slate coming out. He had one really gigantic game last season when he got the start, and it's hard to imagine he keeps up that level of production, but only $6,100. He's cheaper than just about every other starting running back on the slate and maybe comes into one of the best opportunities given the team total that's implied on the Vegas numbers. So I like Terry Williams quite a bit.
It's a tricky week in week one in the Canadian Football League. Week one of any football league is tough, but they only play two preseason games, guys, and, you know, the Argos starters basically never played. Ricky Ray, was out there for a couple of series, one series, I think, in the first game, and then they're going to be unleashed. I don't know. Like, I'm sort of with you. I sort of expect kind of lower scoring games and then just sort of track meets right out of the gate. So when I'm looking at the quarterbacks as a whole this week, the quarterback that caught my eye, and I've been telling people about this even before the prices came out, I said I can't wait to see, is Jonathan Jennings. Jennings is frustrating in reality, isn't it, Ben? Because he throws off his back foot. He gets in trouble. He just throws up the ball, and he throws these sort of wings and prayers. He turns the ball over too much. But from a fantasy standpoint, he runs around a lot. And I see BC playing with a chip on their shoulder. So if they could kill Montreal, they will. I mean, they're going to want to get Jennings' confidence. Buono's going to want to get his last season off on the right foot. BC's in tough this year. They play in a tough division. You know, to me, this game looks like it could be a rout, and I think Jennings can sort of run around and run wild. Out of all the quarterbacks on the board besides tonight's games, what do you think of Jennings, and if not, who else do you like?
Jennings projects pretty well overall for us. I think he's our second projected highest projected passer on the slate, but he's also maybe one of the most uncomfortable just for the exact reasons that you said. He's really volatile. He could get you 35 points and he could get you 5 points and just about anywhere in between. So if you're looking for a low-owned GPP play, Jonathan Jennings is probably an interesting option against Montreal simply because he's going to get a lot of opportunity to throw and he has a chance to put up a lot of points through the air, running and passing. If you're looking for somebody else, I like Bo Levi Mitchell a lot, and I can't believe I'm saying that out loud. But he's usually a better real-life quarterback than a fantasy quarterback. But against Hamilton this week, the matchup is pretty outstanding. And if he gets Aaron Rodgers back into his receiving core this week from the NFL, they have a lot of weapons to throw to in a game that could turn out to be pretty high-scoring. And they already have the highest team total on the slate at 31. So I like their opportunity to put up some touchdowns quite a bit in Calgary.
Ben, it's going to be tough to, like, when you talk about BC and they're like, they don't have a true, like, star, like one running back, like Harris, who gets fed a lot and often. They have three different guys there. How do you attack the BC Lions running back situation, I guess, from a fantasy point? Because they have Van, they have Johnson, they have so many guys that could touch the ball. You know, if Jennings is going to go deep, but with their running situation seems to be, it's very tough to pinpoint a guy week to week.
Yeah, and even last season when it was mostly Jeremiah Johnson getting probably 75% of the touches, he was really boom or bust because most of his points came through touchdowns. And if he didn't score a touchdown, it was going to be a pretty lean week. Overall, I'd probably avoid the BC running situation until we know a little bit more of what the split is going to look like. This week, I think we have about 60% of the touches to Jeremiah Johnson and about 30% going to Rutley. And we'll see what winds up happening once the depth chart shakes out.
How bad are the Montreal Alouettes going to be, in your opinion? And from a perspective, we know, obviously, in the International Football League, listen, the final score of the game doesn't matter, right? I mean, if the Alouettes are getting drilled all the time, will Drew Willey put up some decent fantasy numbers in routes? You know, let's say the Alouettes lose 34-16 or 34-18, and he's cheap every week. He does have some wide receivers to work with, but what's your opinion on the Alouettes coming into this year? Are they going to be as bad as a lot of people think they are?
You know, I think the Alouettes might be worse than a lot of people think that they are, but I think for fantasy purposes, garbage time superheroes can always make your lineup, right?
Exactly.
And Drew Willey is pretty much Captain Garbage Time. When he was in Winnipeg.
It sucks that S.J. Green's so expensive, though, at 89. I was hoping to sort of steal him for cheaper, you know, fly under the radar there.
Yeah, there's a lot of talented receivers in Montreal, but a lot of them are coming off injuries and coming off down seasons, whether it's B.J. Cunningham or Ernest Jackson or Chris Williams. There's a lot of upside to be had there. It's a matter of whether Willie can get them the ball. In his years in Winnipeg, people forget a little bit that through the first 4 weeks before he got benched there for Nichols, he was actually leading the league in touchdown passes and yards and all these kind of things. They were just ineffective at trying to win football games. So I'm not saying Willie is a good player, and I'm not saying he's worth playing this week, but coming up in the next couple of weeks, they could show some signs of life, especially in garbage time when they get down and they just have to start winging the ball deep to some of these fast receivers.
Yeah, like if they're terrible, if the Alouettes are terrible, then the price will drop too. You know, maybe, you know, the Alouettes, he'll be like $6,700
or something. You find value in those guys who are going to get you that garbage stuff. You win games that
way. In a couple of weeks. Yeah. But who knows, right? I mean, their offense really, really, really could struggle as well. I could see a lot of quick two and outs. All right, so for the casual fan right now that's tuning in, Ben, they're going to see Johnny Manziel's name on the board. And I was already asked about this last night when I was talking about the Canadian Football League. People, oh, is Manziel going to play it all? Is he going to play it all? And I said, no, at least not now. Now, I am of the firm belief that he wasn't brought to Hamilton to be a backup. I don't think Masoli's that good. He's not as good as June Jones makes him out to be. To me, it's inevitable that Manziel will be the quarterback there, but it could take 6-8 weeks or what have you. So what's your take on Masoli and this Calgary game? Do you think which of the game is going to be the highest scoring game, do you think, this week?
Yeah, I think Calgary and Hamilton could really be the biggest track meet of the week if Mazzoli gets going. There's a few new players and new faces on that Calgary defense that makes them maybe a little less certain of a lock to be a great play every week, as last year they were just the tops every week and week out. This year, I think Mazzoli's actually got a lot of potential. I wouldn't want him in my lineup this week because of the matchup, but going into the next couple of weeks, I'll probably look at Mazzoli pretty hard and pretty often for a lot of lineups for myself in tournaments.
Ben, I got to ask you, like, I'm looking for an option because I agree with you. I bowl Levi Mitchell as my quarterback with Williams for Calgary. Any nice options for Hamilton? Because, yeah, we could see a nice scoring game, lots of points there. Is there any guys that are on your radar that are a pretty effective price?
You know what? I wouldn't look at too many of them as a price option, but certainly they're going to be low-owned players because of that matchup with Calgary. And Brandon Banks will be on the top of everybody's mind pretty quickly, but he's also probably their best option. He doesn't project awesome because of the matchup, but at 8,700, if he does wind up having a big game, almost no one else is going to have him in their lineups, and you can really shoot up the leaderboards pretty quickly having a low-owned Brandon Banks.
All right, Ben, so why don't you let everybody know how they can get the premium access to your top projections with Daily Roto.
Yeah, over at dailyroto.com/CFL, you can see all of our weekly articles up there with the slate breakdowns. And in those articles, you can find links to our subscription packages for $75 for the season or $25 for the month. And we'll have those up all season ready to go. We've been excited in getting them ready this week, and now they're ready for production.
Great stuff. Congratulations. That $75 for the year is good.
Good price.
Considering how long.
Yeah, we realize that we're not the NFL, right? The NFL, they can charge a little bit more. We're trying to get the game out there and make sure people know and have the opportunity to learn about this great game in the CFL. And for a 20-week season, it's working out to less than $4 a week for the projections. It worked out pretty well for us over the last couple of years.
Yeah, and I think people with the projections and the knowledge and the inside knowledge you're going to bring to the table, they'll be able to make this money back easily in one or 2 weeks. Ben, enjoy the game tonight. It's great to have football back. Look forward to doing this with you again. And let's make some money this week, man.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thanks for your time.
There's Ben Kramer with us. Good stuff with Ben Kramer. CFL kickoff now just hours away. From a betting standpoint, this game is tricky tonight.
I think I'm going to take the home dog just because of the points, Gabe. Edmonton's a very good their team, but you're going to give me seven with the home team. I know it's a backup quarterback. I'm taking the points.
Yeah, I'm thinking Edmonton wins by 10, 14.
How about by 5?
10, 14.
6. 4.
I can't just buy in because it's the home dog. I don't trust the quarterback enough.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Enjoy playing daily fantasy sports but are sick of dealing with professionals using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries? Try the Prop Builder over at mybookie.ag. Forget having to create multiple lineups. Ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches and avoid experts winning 90% of the money. Invest in the players that you want without salary caps. And if you sign up for a new account using promo code FNTSY, you can elect to receive a 50% deposit bonus with a rollover requirement. No more dealing with late lineup scratches, no experts to compete against, just you and the props that you choose. Go to mybookie.ag, enter promo code FNTSY upon sign up, and choose your matchups using the Props Builder tool. That's mybookie.ag, promo code FNTSY.
Could have been pretty lucrative today if you liked Russia over the goal. Ding, 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 ding. How's that prop builder going? Rubles, rubles, more. Like, that's unbelievable. 5-0? That's called building the props.
I think they were, I think it was like plus 250 for them to win by three. So by five, it was probably like plus 500.
Yeah, that's good.
Like an exact score for them to win 5-0 probably paid like plus 700 before the game. Because they were minus like 225, 250
favorites.
They're
supposed to win the game,
right?
But you don't think they're going to win 5-0.
I wasn't even sure they were going to win. No one really knew what to expect from Russia. The odds makers gave them more respect than the so-called soccer experts coming into this. But to be honest with you, Cam, it goes to show like how meaningless the FIFA rankings are, as we all know. They're stupider than the UFC rankings are. That Saudi Arabia were actually ranked three spots higher than Russia. And it's not saying much. Saudi Arabia ranked 67th in the world. Now you wonder, well, there's only 32 teams. How do they get in if they're ranked 67th? Because somebody's got to represent their region.
Their region, yeah. They won the qualifier.
They won, yeah. They got through their qualifications to get...
which is a weak region.
To get there. All right. So if you want to win two tickets to the 2018 World Series, you want to go to a 2018 World Series game, go to dailyroto.com/DKMS. You'll find a link to free DFS baseball contest every day. The contests are sponsored by DKMS. They're looking for your help in a fight against blood cancer. For many patients, a bone marrow transplant is the best chance for survival. 30% of patients can find a matching donor in their family. 70%, nearly 14,000 each year, must rely on a benevolent stranger to step up and donate. Find out how you can help and play free DFS contests with a shot of winning two tickets to a 2018 World Series game. Go to dailyroto.com/DKMS. That's dailyroto.com/DKMS. And light baseball board tonight for fantasy purposes. Only four Major League Baseball games on the board tonight. And, man, they're pretty crappy, actually.
Yeah, it's a rough sked at night there.
Like for betting and for fantasy. I put together a baseball lineup.
So did I. I took a chance with the pitching because there's, you know, when you're looking at the guys going, I think you can get mid-grade guys and hope for the bats. I loaded up on
a lot of people
Boston
like Snell tonight, but
I don't like Snell.
Thing
tonight.
Is, they're playing against the Yankees
in New York.
Herman's been hit hard.
I looked at him, but nah, I went in a different direction.
Yankees are minus 165. The total's 8.5 there. Tyson Ross has been good, but is he going to win this game? I don't know.
Braves are a hot baseball team.
And Atlanta
right now.
Total's 8.5 there as well. Vargas on the hill. Pick your poison.
I'm with. I'm going to use our boy Koch.
Well, look,
I think Arizona's in a good spot.
Yeah, and that's a total contrarian roll the dice. I get it, and I don't mind it. I think most people are going to be. David Price been pitching well.
Yes,
but Seattle are a machine right now. I'm going to be betting on Seattle at plus 110 here this evening. I can't pass up the Mariners. The Mariners have been consistent home underdogs. They were dogs against the stupid Angels.
Yeah, I'm going to the way I look at it, I know Tyson Ross has been good, but the Mets, first of all, with Arizona at $140, the Mets can't hit their way out of a paper bag right now. They're having real problems with their offense. Then I also look at the Atlanta Braves tonight, another hot baseball team laying 50 cents. Ross is a dog in that game. People are going, yeah, Anibal Sanchez, whatever, and I looked at it the last starts. He's been pretty good, and he's really, really cheap. So you look at the name brand pitchers tonight. I know a lot of people are going to take Price. I'm with you. I think Seattle might be able to get to him because they're hitting hot. Arizona, Atlanta offer great value with the guys that aren't getting any respect pitching, and then you can really load up your bats.
The Atlanta Braves are 6-0 this year on Thursdays.
Great. That's good news.
The New York Mets are 8-2 on the road in game ones.
Don't like that stat.
8-2 in game ones on the road.
They're struggling.
The Seattle Mariners are 10-2 in home starts in game one of a series.
Good news for you.
Felix Hernandez is 6-1 this year at nighttime.
The king pitches better at night.
Well, I should say the Seattle Mariners are 6-1 when he pitches. Like when we use these gambling stats, we don't really care about the guy's won-loss record, but What's the one loss record when he's on the hill? Yep. So the Seattle Mariners are 6-1 at nighttime when Felix Hernandez is started. Mariners are also 14-9 against left-handed pitchers, which, of course, David Price is.
Yeah, and you saw last night, what a comeback by Seattle again.
I jumped on the in-game.
The Angels took the lead in the game, and Seattle came back. Good, great move picking on the in-game. Man, that game fluctuated from Angels
to Seattle.
That was basically a roller coaster, and that's the beautiful thing about the in-game. You hit it, Gabe. You like Seattle. You get them as a pooch. Rough. They come back and win the game. Man, this team is gritty right now. We got to give the Mariners so much credit. They're just battling. Even in games when they don't get the pitching, man, it's nice to watch. I always cheer for the Seattle teams, and you know what? I'm happy the Mariners are doing well. I'd like them to maintain it. They're going to have to go out and get another pitcher. They have to get serious because this could be it. This is their chance. Every year they disappoint, but they got to go out and make a move. You can't win with Leek, Gonzalez, Felix Hernandez. It's not Paxton's the stud.
They'll bring in another pitcher.
They have to.
All right, here's a Major League Baseball trend of the day. The New York Yankees are 10-0 since March 30th, 2018, off a game as a favorite in which Giancarlo Stanton had multiple hits.
Ooh.
And the Tampa Bay Rays are 0-24 straight up on the road after a game as a home dog in which they had more strikeouts than hits.
Really? I was looking at Tampa Bay at +145.
It's a combination here. It's a 30. So you've got a 35-0, double 35-0.
Should I ride the trend or bucket, Gabe? I don't know, man. I don't want to lay 65 cents with her, man. I think Tampa Bay. Yeah, they beat the Blue Jays.
Listen, Blake Snell's been unbelievable. Right?
I like Snell.
In the last five starts, he's got 36 strikeouts. He's given up 3 runs in his past 4 starts, giving up 2 runs or less in 9 of his last 10 starts. Very, very impressive. Yet, the New York Yankees did hit him and hit him pretty hard earlier this year. They put a 5 spot up on him in 3 1/3 earlier this year in April.
Yeah, well, the Yankees seem to do that to a lot of guys, but I'm getting Blake Snell at +145 against Herman, who I don't really have a lot of faith in. Maybe you want to take a look at the over if you think that the Yankees can get to.
I was just about to say that the New York Yankees are on an 8-0 under run.
Oh, really? Well, okay. I just.
Why would you say like the over after we just said that Snell has given up 2 runs or less in 9 of his last 10 starts?
No, but I'm talking about Herman. When you look at Tampa Bay as a dog, they can get to him. That's the thing. He's not been special. Take a look at his numbers. They're not good at all.
No, it is true. Well, he's all over the place, this kid. But you're right. For the record,
I'm just saying 8.5, Gabe, is a low total at Yankee Stadium where the balls can fly.
Even though Herman's been hit a little bit, he's 3-0 to the under in his last 3 starts.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just because it said, I'm just saying, like, you know what I mean? It's just because it looks like it's going to go under. I think that's a low total at Yankee Stadium. 8.5 is low.
It's because 8 straight Yankee games have gone under the number. Yeah.
Well, I think maybe you're getting some.
They're not really hitting the baseball right now.
Yeah, well, I don't know, man.
And Snell's on fire.
He is, but Snell.
If this game's going to go over, then you might as well just bet on Tampa Bay.
I am.
+145 because the Yankees aren't going to put a 6 spot up on Snell.
They could.
Yeah, and Beyonce could knock on the door right now.
I really wish somebody would knock on the door.
What do you mean somebody? I don't want somebody.
No, it's a hot chick.
Yeah.
I'm taking a shot with Tampa Bay at +145 tonight. I think it's a good line value for a good pitcher in Snell. The Yankees are still going to score some runs off Snell, I believe, and Herman can get hit by Tampa Bay. I like the dog and the over.
Arizona -140 against the visiting Mets. Arizona screw me all the time.
Take them tonight, though, buddy. Vargas is not going to pitch well. Paul Goldschmidt back. His numbers against lefties are fantastic. Arizona, yes, they had a bump. They had a bump in the radar, but they were one of the hottest teams going into that game, Gabe. They've been good.
It's a combination of two teams that I've been good in baseball this year, but I've had a hard time picking winners in Mets games, and the D-backs always screw me. To me, this is a game I'm just going to stay away from.
Okay. Yeah, no, you can stay away. I just think you're going to get Arizona at home only laying 40 cents against Vargas. I think it's a good spot for the Snakes. I'll lay 40 cents with Arizona, especially coming off the loss.
I'm Donnie Discipline right now, Cam. Trying to put our foot down here.
What you're betting and my betting has nothing to do with what you know. We're not just going to bet the same things, right? I didn't bet on like the Russia total today or anything like that.
Are you going to bet on every baseball game tonight?
I'm thinking about it. I like Arizona. I have a lean to Atlanta at -150 because they've been hot. I'm kind of worried that Tyson Ross is a good pitcher. I really think Tampa Bay as a pooch looks good at +145. And I really want to take Felix Hernandez with you. I'm just scared about David Price in Boston and the bats that they have. So I haven't pulled the trigger on that game yet. Yeah, there's four games left on the board. The pitching matchups look pretty pedestrian. But you know what? I think there's a couple games where we have favorites at a short price. So I'm in.
Yeah. I'm sort of looking to pass.
That's good. I know. I like your discipline. You don't have to, you know, you do what you got to do. And I understand in the CFL game,
Seattle,
you want to put your money on things that you like a little bit more. These aren't going to be heavy plays by any stretch.
Yeah, Seattle are like 20-5, man, in their last 25
games.
They've
been great. I love Seattle.
Hard to get in front of this, but David Price has been pitching awesome. From a fan, we'll get to the DFS later, but from a fantasy standpoint, you know that David Price is going to be Price and Snell will be the pitchers that people own tonight. I don't think people really believe in the Seattle Mariners. We see the sports books don't. And really, you know, we talk about it every damn day, man. Nelson Cruz just doesn't freaking stop.
He's in my lineup. How do you not put him in your lineup?
He hits home runs every day.
Exactly.
Right now, Haniger's hitting a lot, too. Yeah. They've got a lot of power, this Seattle team.
They do. Zunino hits homers when he's in the lineup. They have a lot of home run hitters. Seattle's a scary team. When you look up and down that lineup, they have guys that can go
I can
deep.
Live with the Arizona bet. I like Arizona in this spot. The Mets can't hit the baseball. I get it. Tampa and the Yankees, I would be Yankees or pass. Mm-hmm. San Diego and Atlanta, I want no part of.
That's a tough game.
Arizona, I could accept at -140. And the Mariners, hard to not take them, as we stated. Just. They lose, and you jump on them again. But, yeah, the Mariners now 20-plus games over .500.
It's awesome, and it's been a long time coming, and doing it with injuries too. A lot of these guys, like Mitch Haniger before, Gabe, strikeout guy, going deep, hitting the home runs. It's absolutely fantastic. I look up and down this lineup, and I'm like, God, man, this guy's delivering. This guy's delivering all the home run power that Seattle has in that park. I'll tell you, though, but Boston rolling in there tonight – some guys against King Felix Hernandez, it's a very, very, very tough spot for Seattle tonight to keep the train rolling. Boston's a good team.
They are now, the Seattle Mariners are now the most profitable team in baseball.
What are you up for the 100?
$1,751 if you've bet $100 on every Seattle Mariner game. Listen, the Mariners are 23-12 at home. Very impressive. Yep. Yet the Boston Red Sox are 24-11 on the road.
Yeah, they're road warriors. They're really good.
Red Sox are the best team in the American League. And, in fact, the Red Sox are the best team in baseball right now. Leading the New York Yankees by one game. It's a little bit deceptive because the Red Sox are 47-22. The Yankees are 43-20. But the Yankees missed a bunch of games, of course, earlier this year. We'll do a little market watch a little bit later on. Well, we can start now, but we'll do the other side we'll do the rest on the other side here. So yeah, the Seattle Mariners $1,751. They are up. The Houston Astros are up $378, and look at the discrepancy there. They have the same damn record.
I know.
Like Seattle are 44-24, and they're up $1,751. Houston are 44-25, but they're only up $378. I tell you guys this time and time and time freaking again, you need to identify the teams that win. It's sort of a look at it like fantasy, right? When you're playing DFS, you want to get a player that's going to put up an equal amount of points than a superstar is for cheaper and that won't be his owned. And this is so same type of theory here. Everybody bets on Cleveland all the time.
Yeah, they're horrible for money making.
Now Cleveland are actually down nearly a freaking $1,000.
Never bet the Indians.
I always tell people, and they burnt me in a parlay the other night.
The White Sox are winning. Like, it's crazy, Gabe.
I tell people that the best thing to do is just bet against the Indians every night. In the end, you'll win, even though they win more than they lose. But they're always such big favorites that they end up losing money. They're actually down $955. I'm telling you, like I've identified this. I've been riding Seattle on a daily basis, and the other team is in a similar situation as the Milwaukee Brewers, in which the odds makers don't really believe in the Brewers. The public doesn't really believe in the Brewers all that much. They're in Milwaukee. They don't have any household name type of players and superstar type of players, but they win a lot of baseball games, and they're always just like minus 130 and stuff. Like, you never really have to lay a big price because people really aren't betting on them. So Seattle is the most profitable team in baseball, $1,751. We mentioned Houston, $378. The Angels, they're down $130. Oakland Athletics, 68 games played, you're up $39.
39 your change.
You can go to Applebee's. Texas Rangers are down $608.
Ooh, burning money.
Dollars. Now, speaking of money burners, like, look, the Cleveland Indians, they're down $955 on the year. It's crazy, man, for a team, that first place team, that you're down $1,000.
-220, -240, -280. Carrasco, Kluber, it's nuts.
And to put in context here, guys, the Detroit Tigers are 33-37. All right, they're four games under 500, and they're up $752.
Yep.
So once again, Detroit are on that list of identifying teams that they're a sub 500 team, but if they're +150 every night and they just win a couple of games, the math adds up and puts them on the plus side of the ledger. Minnesota are a little bit overhyped, as evidence.
I agree with that.
You know, they're seven games under 500, but they're down $1,000. They're a little bit overhyped by the public. The White Sox are terrible, but they're only down $900 right now because whenever they win, they get you back 2.5 units or something. And the Kansas City Royals are just terrible.
They're burning tire fire.
You're down $1,729 if you bet on every Royals game. We'll continue the market watch on the other side.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Game Time Decisions, Red Heat Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network continues. Houston Astros are up on Oakland 7-1 right now.
Yep. 7-1. I was actually, I'm not going to lie to you, looking at it, I almost played Oakland today, and then the voice said, don't do it. Don't do it. It doesn't matter. +170. Verlander going, don't do it. Just lay off. That was smart. I actually listened to that voice. Should do it more.
Somebody was telling me the other day that they set their phone to vibrate every 10 minutes to remind them not to drink.
Really?
Yeah, I think maybe you need to set your phone to vibrate to remind you. Do not recklessly bet on underdogs for the sake of it because you have a feeling.
Yeah, it's a good point. That's true. I don't know. Yeah,
can we play more than a feeling on the way out? Cam has a feeling. And it's gonna be wrong.
That's not very nice.
Cam's got a feeling. And that's why he's bleeding.
Biting my tongue. Cannibal Cam. Oh, it's this one. I got a feeling.
Well, see, now this is where we have a cultural generational gap here with more than a feeling.
Yeah. You wanted the Boston version.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, the good call though. I appreciate
no problem, Florio. No problem.
I appreciate the intentiveness today. It's a good
Cam's
start.
Got a feeling.
But the fact that you think it's more than a feeling, you thought of that song.
Yeah. It's just indigestion and heartburn.
Come on, man. More than a feeling.
There we go. Classic rock time. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I looked out this morning.
looked at the board.
He saw that underdog staring at him. He bet Oakland.
Big mistake.
Yeah, the account slipped away.
Yeah, Cam closes his eyes when he bets.
Yeah, close my eyes. The account slipped away. No. Oakland plus 170.
I got a message.
Take a bite.
I got a message from an investor in the horse game with us.
What's he saying?
He was saying, don't let Cam anywhere near this account. He wants a guy who wants to bet on golf parlays.
Yeah, that's true.
Then we will add that would have lost.
Well, that's actually, you know what? Talk to me tomorrow. Because you know what? If one of those guys at 8 or 9 under, all they have to do, Gabe, is not absolutely gag tomorrow. That's the beautiful thing about this tournament. Everybody's shooting 5, 6, 7 over par, so it's not over yet. But I will say this, it looks bleak.
I like
bleak.
I like your optimism.
Yeah, I can't lie. It's gonna take some work, but like look at your boy. I got him too. Tommy Fleetwood 5 over. Like, you know what I mean? Like these are really good golfers right now. Tiger Woods is still on the course. T40. Okay, Tiger Woods, Gabe, let's put things in perspective. He's T46 at 4 over par. That's all you need to know about this tournament, okay? Like these guys, if you're 5 or 6 over right now, you're not even worried that much. You're probably not going to win the, like there's guys who are good golfers. The problem is Dustin Johnson, he's the issue. He's the roadblock at 2 under par because other than him, you could look at the board and go, yeah, you know, Ian Poulter, Jason Duffner. Duffner can't putt. You know, he's 1 under right now. So a lot of those guys, 4, 5, 6 over, I still think I have a chance in this tournament. We'll see how the elements play. But if you're going to make a bet, Dustin Johnson should win this golf tournament. I just don't like the odds.
All right, if you're going to make a bet like I am right now.
Yes?
I'm going to bet.
On?
Mocha FC. Oh, yeah. And Atletico Pantoja.